reading are the instructions of Jesus to the disciples. The various themes are very prominent. The responsibility of disciples have for proclaiming the good news, the loving care God has for human beings, us, and the role that Jesus plays in determining one's future. The gospel passage opens with an exhortation: fear no one, neither those who resist the proclamation of the gospel, nor those who have the power to put us to death. What we should fear is rejection by Almighty God. And at the core of this instruction is an acknowledgement of the weighty responsibilities disciples bear, and the cost of fidelity those responsibilities might exact. Jesus insists, now is the time to proclaim the gospel openly and boldly. But Jesus doesn't minimize the danger in doing this. We will meet resistance. Millions have died for their faith because of their faith in Jesus Christ over the centuries. God knows, it's not easy to profess our faith in Him. We'll be rejected, maybe maligned, but we must be faithful disciples and persevere in living and voicing our belief in Christ and in His Word. I'll never forget, many years ago, I was at a prayer meeting and a person in Franciscan garb stood and told us his story. He was in prison for murdering his pregnant wife. A priest would visit him weekly. And at first this person heaped abuse upon this priest, verbally, threw things at him, warded him out of his sight. But the priest calmly accepted this abuse. And after months the man began to change. He allowed a simple prayer to be said. Then, a few months later, he allowed the priest to read from the Bible. And finally, there was discussion with this inmate about the scriptures and their meaning. And after a very long process, this man gave himself over to Christ. He was actually released from prison into the care of this Franciscan group. And with tears in his eyes, he related his eventual love for the priest, who never gave up on him. The priest, who accepted danger, proclaiming the gospel to a very dangerous man. The man said he'd spend the rest of his life telling his story, and he ended by saying, "If I can be converted, anyone can be converted." It took this priest, a committed disciple of Jesus Christ, to convert him. Persevere, never give up. And living our lives as committed disciples is not easy. The Lord certainly knows that. But we must proclaim good news boldly. That is what committed disciples do. However, no one can speak for Christ unless Christ has spoken to him or her. No one can proclaim the truth unless he or she is listening to the truth. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We live in a world where money usually is a standard of success. It's a world that's only one winner. The rest are failures, losers. It's a world that values possessions more than commitment, shrewdness more than integrity. It's a world that definitely needs to hear the call of conversion, but it's a world that's either deaf to it, or upon hearing it, they persecute the one who delivers the message. This world is subject to the death of entered through the sin of Adam. But those who respond positively to the call of God may well face the hostility of the world, because the world's values and our commitment to righteousness threaten the moorings of this secular world. They may encounter hostility from family members, friends, neighbors. We may particularly what's difficult is feeling they have been rejected by the very ones whom we came to help. The very ones we proclaim the good news to. The very ones who try to convert to Christ. We can be maligned. We can feel marginalized. But to commit oneself to the reign of God is to challenge the reign of the world. And this can make us unpopular. But Jesus said that suffering insults or harm should never be seen as proof that God is disinterested. Using this Jewish method of light to heavy, it was known as, the Lord offers two examples to demonstrate this point. If God cares for insignificant sparrows, how much more is God concerned with us as his disciples? And if God can count the number of hairs on our head, how much more knowledgeable is God about our needs? The light to the heavy. The Lord used these examples to encourage us, his disciples, that despite hardships we may have to endure, we shouldn't fear, because we're very valuable in God's eyes. God loves us. The Lord died for us. And as Christ's disciples, we can be certain that whatever happens to us, we cannot drift beyond the love of Almighty God. We are surrounded by God's care. Then why shouldn't we be afraid? In being Christ's disciples, we may suffer the scorn of the world, but we should be radiant with hope. St. Paul assures us that this gracious gift that God offers us is far greater than transgressions brought on by sin. This gracious gift is Jesus Christ himself. The gift exceeds everything for which we may have hoped. He is the comfort that will carry us in our disappointments. He is the strength that will enable us to endure misunderstandings or hardships that come our way. We are called to acknowledge him before the world. We are promised that if we do, he'll acknowledge us before God. There is light in the midst of darkness. There is hope in the midst of suffering. We are called to respond to our challenge of courage and faith, echoing the prayer of Jesus himself, "Not my will, but yours be done." Obedience to the Lord's will, an imitation of Christ's example, leads us to hope and one day to share in Christ's risen life. An example of trusting faith is the story of a pious lady who had no money to buy food. She got down on her knees in complete trust with God and said, "Dear Lord, please send me food, a sack of cornmeal, bacon, so I can survive." One of the town's disreputable characters overheard her prayer, went to the nearest store, purchased these items, dropped the food down the chimney where it landed in front of the woman. The woman raised her feet and praised God. She spread the news throughout the neighborhood. But frustrated by her faith, the scoundrel who provided the food ridiculed her, explaining he had done the miracle. But never missed a beat, the old woman replied, "Well, the devil may have delivered it, but it was the Lord who sent it." It's not our duty to be conformed to the world. It's our duty to be transformed from it. Our lives as disciples, committed disciples of Jesus Christ, joyfully proclaiming the gospel, must be such that it confirms our faith in Almighty God. So we spread the good news, and we are transformed by gospel values, living our lives in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.